listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're talking with Douglas J. Feith, the former Undersecretary of Defense in the George W. Bush administration, the author among many, many articles and op-eds of a terrific book, War and Decision, Inside the Pentagon at the Dawn of the War on Terrorism. And Doug, before the break, we were talking about the Kurds seeing a window of opportunity. They are expected, I think, to approve overwhelmingly this referendum. Not clear that the government in Baghdad is going to cotton to it, but there's also an awful lot of other places in the region that aren't terribly keen on seeing a homeland of any kind for the Kurds. So walk us through what you think comes next.
Well, I think if the referendum passes as it's anticipated that it will, there's going to be an outcry from Turkey in particular, but also Iraq and Iran. The Syrian government would also protest, I assume, but I can't imagine there'll be that much attention paid to what Assad says. But even so, there'll be a strong outcry, and especially from Turkey, against the idea of Kurdish sovereignty. The Turks fear that if there's an independent Kurdistan, even if it's located in northern Iraq and maybe with a piece of the Kurdish area of Syria included, the Turks fear that there will then be claims that the Kurdish-speaking regions of Turkey should be united with this independent Kurdistan. That's why the Turks have been, for a very long time, passionate opponents of any kind of Kurdish sovereignty.
And there are large areas of Turkey where there is a substantial Kurdish population. Is that correct?
Right. For many years, as the Turks were working on developing their Turkish national identity for the Republic of Turkey, they worked, governments over a long time, worked very hard to try to cultivate the idea that that all Turkish citizens should think of themselves as Turkish citizens rather than as Kurds. And there were some strong oppressive measures taken to eliminate Kurdish identity and to try to suppress Kurdish language.
Doug, I'd like this response to the Kurdish referendum. Let's broaden the lens a little bit, if we can, to talk about where Turkey is headed under Recep Tayyip Erdogan. You have, again, been deeply involved both in government and outside of it in the challenges that Turkey faces and that we face from Turkey at the moment. I'm interested in your thoughts about whether the Islamization of the country under Erdogan, now greatly facilitated by the concentration of power that he currently enjoys, is making the Turks less and less of a reliable ally to our country and, for that matter, to NATO.
I do think it is making them a less reliable ally, and it's calling the premises of the U.S. relationship with Turkey into question. I mean, for years, the two main premises of our relationship with Turkey were that Turkey is a fellow democracy, and second, that we shared important national security interests. And what Erdogan has done with Turkey is he has systematically dismantled Turkey's democratic institutions. And it's not at all clear that it's proper to even call Turkey a democracy anymore. He's been vicious in imprisoning journalists and imprisoning his political opponents, making false charges against them.
And really fomenting an anti-Americanism as well that is now quite virulent, is it not?
Right. So first of all, I think he's been systematically destroying the institutions of Turkish democracy. And then secondly, he's been agitating for policies that are hostile to the United States. And he's been specifically, as you just said, agitating for hostility against the United States. And so both of these major premises of our relationship with Turkey for decades, he has undermined. It's a deeply disturbing development.
Indeed. You were talking earlier in the program about the impact of refugees on the German polity. Many of them came from, or at least came through, or were facilitated in their transit by the Turks. This seems to be increasingly seen, I think properly, as a hostile act on the part of the Turks, and they seem to be threatening to do more of it if they don't get their way. Doug Fife, you spent a lot of time in government, and again, as an analyst now with the Hudson Institute, where you direct the Center for National Security Strategies, thinking through NATO and how it needs to adapt to changed environments, including, of course, not least the Russians, who were the initial impetus for it. But it's been pointed out that if the Turks are no longer really an ally, what are we doing allowing them to continue to have access to our councils in NATO, to intelligence, to militarily relevant technology and other secrets? Yet people point out that there's no way to formally remove a fallen ally, shall we say, from NATO. What are your thoughts on the way ahead there?
Well, it is a really serious challenge to NATO to try to deal with the question of how do you deal with an ally that is not democratic and not aligned with the basic strategic interests that are shared among all the rest of the NATO countries. I mean, one way to think about it is the term international community gets used very often, or the world community, but the world is not a community. NATO has been an authentic community, which is to say, a group of countries that actually share principles. And the shared principles are really essential to the NATO operation. I mean, NATO has been pursuing policies, security policies for Europe, that stand on a foundation of shared principles. And the policies reflect the shared principles. What you have with Erdogan is he's putting Turkey in a position where it's repudiating, it's rejecting those principles that are the shared principles of the alliance. And it's not at all clear that you can sustain the alliance with Turkey when the Turkish government is outspoken in opposition to the basic principles of the alliance.
Yeah, downright hostile. So, Doug, what would you recommend in terms of removing this thorn from their side?
Well, I'm not sure that I have kind of the command of all the relevant considerations, you know, up to date that would allow me to make a specific policy prescription. But I would say that this is a challenge that NATO needs to deal with. It needs to take seriously the idea of community, and community is a matter of how countries identify. And if the Turks stop identifying as a member of the Western liberal democratic community of states, then they really don't have a place any longer in the alliance, and they're not reliable. And changes are going to have to be made. Now, how you do that, do you do that all at once? Do you do that based on a suspension or an expulsion? I mean, those are complicated questions that I would think the U.S. officials would want to be consulting with our NATO allies about.
Yeah, and they better be about it indeed. Doug Fife, we have to leave it at that for the moment. I appreciate so much your time, these very, very interesting insights into challenges that we're facing in critically important parts of the world. As always, these insights are welcome. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. In the meantime, thank you for the work you're doing at the Hudson Institute. And of course, again, folks, I commend to you War and Decision: Inside the Pentagon at the Dawn of the War on Terrorism. Doug, we'll talk with you again soon. Next up, we'll talk with Claire Lopez. We'll visit with her about, among other things, Iran. What's going on? Will the president decertify the JCPOA? That and more straight ahead.